Welcome to Hawk Podcast. I'm Mike Netzer, joined as always by David Liggett.
Hello.
Today we are doing our year-end look back at 2020 and look forward at 2021 on the Hawk Podcast. Before we get started, we'd love for you to take this opportunity to like this video and subscribe to our channel. In addition, if you would like even more information on the data center industry, you can go to our blog at datacenterhawk.com/blog. There is a Q3 summary that you can read all about what happened in Q3 and also sign up to get notified when we publish our Q4 summary, which will be in mid-January. Well, good morning, David. We are recording this early Wednesday morning on a chilly day here in
Dallas.
That's
right.
So today we wanted to do two things. One, take a look back at 2020, the year that was.
Yeah, and, well, it still is.
Yeah, well,
but it's,
yeah, for a while.
I think for everybody's yes. sake and everybody's excited, it's fading away.
Yes, this is the Friday afternoon of the year. No work's getting done.
Friday at 2 p.m.
I mean, plenty of work getting done here, if anybody
asks.
Oh,
I appreciate
but
that.
Most people. Okay, and also, part number two, look forward to 2021. This is one of our most popular podcasts.
This has become a
tradition unlike any other.
That's right.
David Liggett's 2021 predictions.
Gosh, man. I mean, hold your breath.
I'm literally on the edge of my seat.
I know.
I don't know if I can get any farther back. All right, so let's take a look. I mean, you know, we did this pod last year.
Yes.
And, you know, it's really almost not comical. It's interesting to look back and say where we thought we would be in a year
yes.
ago. So let's just go through.
But I would like to preface that by, I think most people would look back to where they thought things would be, you know, if you're looking back 12 months to where they are now. And I would say there's some things that happened that no one anticipated.
Yes. There was a lot of brash prognostication that happened that has not come to pass. All right. So I think it'd be fun, interesting, look back at the things that you were on record. You, David Liggett, had to put
Bring
your name
it on.
To.
Let's go.
Said, hey, you know, did they come to pass or not? All right,
yeah.
So first one. This one, it may seem self-evident, but I would remind our viewers, listeners, that, you know, last year, this time, we were in a bit of a slump, quite honestly.
Yeah.
There was, like, maybe some thoughts that, like, okay, this, you know, a little bit of the wind has come out of the sails. But
yeah.
you, in bucking with that trend, said, hey, 2020, demand will increase in
yeah.
U.S. and Europe. So
yeah.
you saw the writing on the wall that there would be an increased demand in 2020.
Yeah.
So obviously, yes, that's come to pass, but, you know, give me a little color.
Yes,
on that.
No, that's great. I think the you know, if you look back at the end of 2019, as you mentioned, what, you know, in some like key indicator areas like markets, and if you listen to our stuff, you know, we track supply and demand and absorption and vacancy rates and all that stuff. So we're paying attention to, like, when data center developments come online and, like, how long they sit and if they are pre-leased. And the hyperscale users have ebbed and flowed over time. And so one of the words that we always use to describe the demand, if you're in that space, you know it's that word of lumpy, that the demand sometimes will be 50 megawatts in one quarter in a market, and then the next quarter it will be 8. And so there's a lot of, if you're on the outside of the industry looking in, you might look at that and go, oh my gosh, there's been a, you know, a major impact to the space and this is happening. And then the next quarter it will be higher. And so I think in 3Q, 4Q 2019, I'm speaking in the U.S. specifically, we saw some of those numbers dip a bit. And I think we all believed that, you know, those that are in the space, that we'd see that increase in 2020. Now, what we didn't anticipate was the fact that there would be a global pandemic and some of the challenges that that created, although I think, and I think most people would agree, that those challenges really was like gas on the fire to some of those bigger users and their vision for what type of data center infrastructure, how much they would need, you know, specifically in 2020, but in 2021 and beyond. And so specifically in the U.S. and then Europe is, you know, different in the sense that there's a lot of maturity going on in those markets that probably happened in the U.S. you know, a few years ago. We were on with the Data Center Dynamics Virginia virtual event, I guess it was last week, and one of the things that we mentioned was around the fact that, you know, the maturity in like the U.S. in 2017, 2018, I now believe that's happening in Europe, and actually it's probably increased there. And then you'll see that here in, I think, Asia-Pac, and there's significant things happening in Asia-Pac, but I think you'll see that, you know, take place in the next year or two as well. And then you throw the pandemic issues on top of that that have increased demand. And so that's really where we sit in 2020 at the end of the year. I think that if you're in this space related to how the market metrics have worked in 2020, you've got to feel really good. I mean, especially if, you know, like us, we have friends that are in other industries and, you know, that have really been hit hard by this season of personal life and professional life. And so I've really tried, I know at our company as well as in the industry, to just be someone hopefully that's reminding others of the fact that we are in an industry that grew this year in the midst of a really challenging time, and I think we'll continue to grow into 2021.
Well, hold your thoughts.
Oh yeah,
that's the second.
That's
part
right.
Of the pod.
But we got plenty to talk about. 2020.
Right there, partner. So I think to borrow a phrase from our investor friends, there were some secular tailwinds in place leading into 2020 that were very much exacerbated. Is not the right word because it has a negative connotation, but
yeah,
ramped up by COVID.
Yeah.
Gale force secular tailwind.
Oh gosh, man, we are. Yeah, you're all
metaphor
about it.
Central here. You tell you what, you set me loose with that Starbucks. All right, so prediction number two was that land banking would be the preferred approach for data center development. So first of all, explain a little bit what that means, and then, you know, did we see that happen over the course of the year?
When we talk about land banking, we really are looking at how this comes down to how data center operators or those that are deploying the supply are spending their money, like where the capital is flowing and how much they want to spend based off of really off of market metrics, right? How much supply is in the market? How much demand is here today and do we anticipate tomorrow? So then they're making decisions off of that. And this happens in other, like this is, you know, commercial real estate 101. I mean, this is, you know, supply demand metric analysis. So what we have seen, especially if you look back, the reason we talked about this in 2020, at the beginning of 2020, was because of that period we were in at the end of 2019, where we weren't sure what those bigger companies were going to do. So data center operators, you know, historically have changed from going and building, you know, these big facilities with power already deployed to, you know, buying land, doing all the permitting design work, get the land ready, and then being able to strengthen their supply chains so that they can deliver the capacity in, you know, record time. I mean, you know, 6 months, you know, maybe even some would say a little faster, but there's always a debate on like what that really means. So you want to be able as a data center operator to show the pathway for growth in major and secondary data center markets across the world. And so that certainly happened in, 2020. I think, you know, one of the interesting changes that we're looking at is how much to, you know, what levels to deploy the capital. You know, is it land development? Is it powered shell, which is where you just basically build the shell of the building and you bring the power and everything you can to get that shell ready just to speed up the timelines. And that certainly has been a benefit to companies that need to deploy their infrastructure quickly. But I think that was an approach that took place, and that's something that we'll continue to see in 2021 as well.
Yeah, so as a relative data center industry newcomer, give me like the 7-year history.
You can't claim that anymore.
But like put that into like a 5 to 7 year context, you know,
because
I couldn't speak with detail about 5 years ago. Was it primarily speculative development?
Yeah, I'll take it back even.
Is it a trend that's been in place for many years that it just continued to swing?
I think you've got to even like go back further than that, and I can do it quickly. But basically, you know, when our industry really started to ramp up with maturity, you know, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, you know, it was like, hey, let's buy buildings that we can retrofit. You know, we don't know what to – I mean, we're going to retrofit what we think we can build, and then over time – the thought process was, no, we can actually build something more efficient if we do it the same way in the same markets with the same, electrical and mechanical topology. And that really started, you know, I would say in like the 2009, 10, 11 range. And then, you know, and then from that, it was maybe less spec because a lot of the deal sizes got larger. Mm. So then it was, let's figure out how we can deploy the least amount of capital, which makes sense, in a reasonable fashion without having to fully commit until we know it makes sense to do that. And so that's, I would say, like 2015, 16, that's really when it started changing as far as, like, let's buy land in these places we want to be able to grow over time.
Okay, so the next thing that we had talked about in, again, end of last year was that there would be increased M&A activity.
Yeah.
So remind us all what caused you to think that that was going to happen, and did it happen?
You know, I think the thought behind that continuing was companies, you know, wanting to, number one, you know, grow their portfolio. So I think, you know, looking at where they are from, you know, like today and existing or back then, and then seeing, hey, how can we grow? That's one thing. Two, you know, looking for some maybe providers that were having challenges that they could come in and be able to offer additional services, et cetera. And then three, like just good opportunities, good business opportunities. And so I think all those three things were making me think that that would take place. And, you know, it did to an extent, but not at the level that I believed at the time. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, in March of 2020, our world changed. You know, the foundation of kind of what everyone knew to be normal shifted pretty significantly. And I think most businesses took time to say, hey, we don't know what's going, this world's going to be like in the next 1 month, 3 months, 6 months. So probably need to pause a bit and make sure that before we go and make some of these decisions, you know, we have a better idea of what environment we'll be making those decisions in.
All right. So I think, you know, the one that stands out is DataBank and zColo or Zayo.
Yeah.
By the way, how do you refer to that company?
Well, now I just refer to it as DataBank.
Well, thank you. But before that,
I would just say zColo. Sure.
Okay.
I mean, it, you know, zColo was Zayo's kind of colocation arm, and
yeah,
Zayo continues, but the zColo business sold into DataBank, and you know it that was one that put DataBank, you know, all across the, certainly the U.S. And the other thing that's really interesting about that is it really put them into some, you know, major markets where traditionally they had not been, at Northern Virginia, Chicago, Silicon Valley.
You know, that one, after it was announced, you kind of look at the geographical overlay of the two companies, oh yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
And so now you're kind of mentally going through different companies and their footprints. And
sure.
Yeah, well, it's like a puzzle.
Yeah, sometimes, like,
I mean, that's not all there is to it, but
yes, and I think that's the, you know, sometimes companies are acquiring other companies because of the geographic footprint, and it totally makes sense. Other times, like, it doesn't. We're gonna, you know, we have a data center footprint in Northern Virginia, and we're gonna go acquire this company, and our data center footprint is going to triple, you know, there. So, and just that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, and this is a little bit of a segue into our next point, but you know, you looked at like those two companies that were more like investment groups really like declaring a focus. So one was at Global Technical Realty, the KKR money, got that, yes. Jerry Jones money. And then the other one was Global Compute Infrastructure, which is that Blackstone money. And so, again, that Blackstone cheddar. All right. So, you know, again, that goes to reinforce the next point that you said on record 1 year ago. You can go back and listen to it. We'll link to it. I don't know if we'll link to it. You can find it. Increased investor interest in the market. And I would say that's a resounding yes.
Yeah. I mean, the I think a lot of the conversations that we've had over the last 12 months have been, you know, investors looking at this market and wanting to figure out ways to participate in, you know, the opportunities that are there. The, you know, that's a good thing, and it's probably a challenging thing as it relates to those that are in the industry. And let me explain that. You know, one is, I mean, having capital in, you know, any, like, additional capital in any real estate market is a good thing because it's going to allow, you know, development to happen quicker. There's good things that, you know, take place with that for sure. But it's also a challenge because it impacts, you know, the financial opportunities for all companies in the space. And that's one of those things that people in the industry, you know, have to get comfortable with as the landscape changes, as the investment landscape changes. And, you know, it's, I would say, if I could just categorize the way that some of these investor groups have been looking at the market, you know, for a long time, like, the data center industry has been a small, and I'm speaking in like the commercial real estate universe, the data center industry has been a small part of, you know, the office, the retail, the industrial, the multifamily, like all those different asset classes. And I would say that in the last, you know, 6 months, or, you know, prior to going into 2020, the data center asset class was starting to pick up steam and get maybe more looks from people because of the returns that were, you know, happening. And I would say that, you know, the pandemic has only increased that, you know, situation as it relates to people seeing that the data center industry asset class will grow and is successful right now. So, you know, so the market has been somewhat a victim of its own success, but it just points to the fact that this is an industry that is growing, and it's growing in ways that, you know, certain ways we predicted and others that have, you know, been have snuck up on us.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're growing pains. It's a necessary maturation of a asset class and sector. Yeah. That, again, it's a by and large a great thing.
Yes.
But I think we've heard from some investors specifically who, you know, maybe 2-3 years ago were getting a certain return and now are getting maybe slightly less.
Well,
just because of all the competition.
Yeah. It's a more competitive market today, you know, and this is how markets mature over time. And I think, you know, and it's actually one of the things that I am mentioning that data center dynamics conversation that we had last week again. But, you know, one of the things that I remind people of is, like, this is a very young industry, you know. Yeah. When compared to other significant, you know, I would say it's like very young, and it's also extremely important, you know, like, not that different office assets are not important, but I mean, this is the guts of businesses running correctly.
Well, it's called mission critical for a reason.
It's
a very apt.
No.
It's a great marketing, you know.
Yeah, but you know, it's like if something happens to these assets, there's a big problem. So I would tell you that, like, we will see over the next year to 2 years a lot of interest from investors all over the world.
And I hear what you're saying, but I wonder if, you know, when office and retail and everything else kind of picks back up or recovers from the pandemic, there's a pullback from the data center industry, if there's going to be some.
Well, you know, perhaps. And I'm not saying that, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be massive.
But. Yeah, and what I don't want to do either is, you know, I believe, like, the office market will return. You know, I'm not, like, I think companies like working from home, but there's, like, a lot of companies out there that want to be in the office. They want to build culture. So I'm not, you know, trying to diss those other industries in the sense that they're going to, like, you know, go away. It's just a season of time where, you know, you'll look back and we'll see a, you know, kind of like a dip, significant dip.
Sure.
Because of, you know, what's happened with the world. So.
All right. And final point, number 5.
Yes.
And there will be an increased focus on renewable energy / sustainability.
Boom. It's a pretty ambiguous, you know, point that I made, but it is a very true point. And,
well, you know, a lot of these companies are saying, like, we're going to be carbon neutral by 2025, 2030. At some point, we're going to come up on those dates.
Yeah.
Time passes.
Sure.
The same rate all the time.
Yeah. And so what I think this points to, so I would say this was true. And what I think this points to is the industry, I would say, like, most people, if not all in the industry, recognizing that the more and more the data center industry grows, the more and more, you know, power that the industry is using, you know, that's becoming more visible. And I think those that are in the space have to and are look for ways to ensure that they're thinking 10, 20, 30, 50 years down the road as it relates to how these, you know, data center facilities are being powered and what is the way to do that correctly. And you know, the challenge is that each geographic location presents different, you know, challenges. So, like, when you have that, hey, we're going to be carbon neutral by this time, or we're going to be powered by renewable energy, you know, by this time period, it's one thing to say. To your point, it's a harder thing to go and execute on. But, you know, I'd give a lot of credit to certainly the biggest hyperscale companies in the world and what they're doing. I give a lot of credit to the data center operators and how they've worked to, you know, get their portfolio into a position to do that. So, you know, that's something that's going to be around for a long time.
Do you see this as, it almost feels like it would cut both ways. Like, there is certainly an increased cost to implement some of these sustainability initiatives.
Yeah.
But there is, I would say, an increased goodwill, or even comes to customers that demand. You're going to have access to a different customer set if you are able to say that you're sustainable in a certain way. But on the other hand, you're able to offer your product at a lower cost if you're not.
Yeah.
Do you see that? How do you see that playing out in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly costs. You know, there's a cost to it. And I think all companies have to evaluate that, you know, and there are companies, I think every company would say, hey, we want to be, you know, focused on renewable energy and do X, Y, and Z. I think every company would say that until you look at the realities of that. And so I think that's one of the reasons it's so important to see some of those bigger companies making that commitment. And, you know, I think, too, it's important for, you know, as co-location grows, if the data center operator community continues to do that, you know, that helps. If you're a financial company and you have a 1 megawatt requirement and you're partnering with your partner who's a data center operator, has that focus, it allows you to feel a lot more comfortable about what that is. And so I know that the cost impacts what the how the industry looks at this, but I think that there's many in the space that have said we'll bear some of that burden so that we can do this. Now there's some that don't, and that's probably going to continue. But
do you see this as a maybe not a wedge, but something that if you look at like the top 10 operators in the U.S., do you feel like there's 8 of the 10 are pretty heavily focused? Is it 3? Is it 5? Is it causing any type of business disruption or ability to close deals?
I mean, okay. I think like if you, the top 10 data center operators, they're focused on
they're
this.
They're all pretty,
I mean, you got to be. You have to be because of your global footprint and your ability to serve global companies. You know, you got to be, this has got to be in your, you know, on your list of things that you're focused on.
Okay, so thank you, David, for that.
My pleasure.
Recap. Any final thoughts on 2020 as far as like, you know, obviously there was one very large news story that dominated.
Yes.
But, you know, anything else, you know, in addition to that, that we will think about when we think back to 2020?
I think that more, you know, eyes were on the data center industry than ever before. And I think that, you know, the ability to operate the infrastructure in the midst of the pandemic was pretty impressive, because every geography presented and still does presents different challenges, right? You might have a data center portfolio in the U.S. in Dallas, Chicago, Northern California, and Phoenix, but all four of those are different in the way that you can let people, especially when it first happened, you can let people in the data center. Is it essential? Is it not essential? What does that mean? And so just the ability to work through that well, keep infrastructure up and going, and then also deal with people that, you know, might have been exposed to COVID or might have gotten sick and all that stuff. So that's another thing, is just that the industry operated effectively during this time period, and it actually grew. You know, it actually is like the trajectory went up versus, you know, I think most people today would say, hey, if you got out of 2020 and you were like neutral, that's a win. And the data center industry was certainly better than that.
Yes, my aunt's ability to post cat videos is certainly essential. I just want everyone listening to know that.
That's so true.
No, that, okay, again, I agree. Those are great. You know, I think that's – even pre-COVID, we thought there were some things going on that have – trends that have continued directionally, yeah. And then COVID increased the magnitude thereof.
Fair enough.
Okay, so now let's look forward to 2021. You know, again, 2020, it's just interesting, I think, again, even in my short tenure in the space – you know, you look at like the lump, even if you look nationally, like 2018, big year, 2019, a little bit of a down year,
yeah.
Obviously 2020 going to be big. Let's talk about 2021 from the 10 to 20,000 foot view.
Yeah.
What do you see continuing from a growth standpoint across again, US and Europe and even in APAC?
Yeah. I mean, based on the data that we're tracking and, you know, the people that we're talking to, you know, it feels like the first, you know, it feels like 2021 will still be a solid, you know, year. I think that, you know, like in the U.S., you know, the first half will be strong. In the second half, you know, it could level off a bit, but a lot just depends on those bigger hyperscale transactions getting completed. But those companies are looking in, you know, places all across, you know, the U.S. and world, which we'll talk about here in a minute. The other thing I would mention, too, is that, you know, those companies are doing there's a lot of flexibility in some of the deals that they're looking at with data center operators. So, you know, it's not just about turnkey capacity anymore. It's there's powered shell deals that are getting done. There's built-to-suits that are getting done. And so there's that taking place as well. So, you know, I feel pretty confident that 2021 will be a strong demand year for the data center space. As it relates to Europe and Asia, I mean, I think that this time period will be, very strong from a demand perspective. And, you know, there's different reasons for that. But I think that, you know, those larger companies getting mature in those markets, I mean, you're seeing, at least through the info that we're tracking, I mean, you see a lot of growth happening in the major European markets, secondary European markets, markets in, Asia that have been, traditionally strong that I think will, grow stronger. So, I don't think there's going to be a significant drop off in 2021. Will we reach the same levels? Hard to say, because in certain areas, especially in the U.S., like Northern Virginia, I mean, we reach some extremely high levels. So I don't know if that will happen the way it did in 2020, but I do think that, there's still the metrics that we're looking at still point to a strong 2021.
Yeah, I think so much hinges that on how long do certain, call it pandemic operating conditions, persist.
Sure.
So, but, you know, where we are today, not a medical expert, not Dr. David, but looking at the tea leaves, it certainly seems like this is going to continue into at least the first half of 2021.
Yeah, I mean, and even, I think, just try to approach this with like a reasonable mindset. It's like, there's the way I think about it is we'll probably have another year of like significant dysfunction related to like, hey, how are our, even like when, and again, this is like end of 2020, but even as we think through the fact of like some of the things that will happen to maybe make us feel better or put us in a safer position, still hard to imagine people just immediately feeling like, oh, we're back to normal, So I think there is still a period of time that we're doing things differently, but I think so. And if I've just depressed people because they're thinking 2021 is going to be a lot like 2020, I'm sorry, but that's, if you look at what's happening, it seems to be there'll be some challenges existing in 2021.
Are you mentioned development trends about, there being some increased amount of powered shell deals getting done? So what impact will that have, on the industry going into 2021?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest impact is, that has to do with how money's being spent. So like, how much, it allows for probably more development from a, from like an actual, there's just more money from a data center operator potentially to spend on shell development. That's where the user's actually like spending their own money to bring in the infrastructure and all that stuff. So, I think it points to a couple things. One, the data center operators have done a really good job building a supply chain that can deliver. And so, big data center users look at that and feel like there's value in utilizing that supply chain at times. And so I think that will be, a focus in markets where it makes sense to do that. You know, some markets are just, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. Dallas is a good example of where that today is not taking place. But, like Northern Virginia, like that is happening. We're starting to see some of that in markets like Chicago. And so I think probably the biggest impact is just how the money is being spent. But what it shows is the partnership between the bigger hyperscale companies and the data center.
Yeah,
providers.
I was going to say, so for those who may not be aware, those powered shell deals are typically going to be a single tenant lease. True statement?
Yeah.
And if you're doing a 5, 10, 20, 50 megawatt powered shell, you've really got just a handful of customers. So you think
that's right.
And again, that makes perfect sense. If I'm a data center operator, that makes perfect sense,
yeah,
just given what we've seen over the past couple of years. So
yeah, and that, the it's interesting to look too at like the companies that are this big that have these needs, they're the end users themselves. I mean, they all have strategies, right, on how they want to deliver this. So when, the industry kind of first started and these power shells were being delivered, first it was like, okay, let's build 150,000 square foot, one story facility that could house, 10 megawatts. And now we're talking about, depending on the market, two story facilities that are 250 to 300,000 square feet that can support 36 to 48 megawatts. So it has changed. And that will, you know, it's those type of – that's being driven by the end user and their maturity and sophistication. But I think that that will continue to, you know, push the data center operator community to figure out how to be flexible to get deals done.
All right, so let's talk about something that I think a lot of people have been curious about. You know, like the enterprise demand, it did dry up a little bit through 2020. And I think a lot of people are asking, hey, is that going to pick back up? Is it going to increase through 2021?
Yeah, I think that it will increase in 2021 related to, you know, the where it was in 2020. I mean, the you know, these companies, if you think technology, healthcare, financial, insurance companies that have, you know, that I think are going to almost reboot in or have been spending the last year doing that. You know, one of the things that's very clear to me is that, and to us, is that when the pandemic happened, there were a lot of these companies that had projects they were working on run by, you know, IT organizations within these companies that had to stop looking outward and start looking inward and say, hey, we've got to just, our world has changed in like a week period, and we've got to stand up our new organization that, you know, most of them are working from home, and now maybe half of them are working from home and half of them are coming in. And so a lot of eyes turn inward, you know, and I think in 2021, we'll see that change a bit. So, you know, if you think about like healthcare companies that are growing in the midst of, you know, everything that's taking place with, you know, COVID, and then just how to like online serve people well that don't want to come into an office or don't feel comfortable being at the doctor but need to see a physician, you know, I mean that takes IT infrastructure to complete, especially when you think about like from a regional you know, or a global scale. So I actually think that will increase from where it was in 2020.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned like different like the healthcare companies, and I think, you know, from your standpoint, it may be somewhat industry specific. Yep. As far as companies that, you know, feel like they've got, if the operating conditions aren't great, but they've stabilized.
Yep.
And so they can make decisions then where they didn't feel like they could 6 months ago.
Yeah. And actually it makes me think of a few things that I think that the pandemic has actually pushed people to get more comfortable with. That's one of them, which there might be some people like, hey, I've always been great with seeing a doctor like online and feeling comfortable with that. But I think most people probably, if you have an issue, you want to like go in and see them. But I think this has probably made people go, this can work for me, you know, and I'm not saying everybody's like that. But I think just because of the challenges, this has pushed a whole new world, you know, and maybe sped up the process of adoption related to that. You know, the other thing I think about is, and this is, you know, maybe more of a personal thing, but, you know, it's like online shopping related to the groceries. Mm. And, you know, we, I think, started doing that before the pandemic, but our whole thing was always around like produce. Like, can we get the right produce? My wife is very opinionated.
Every
about
wife
the,
sure. is opinionated.
Sure. And I'm sure
produce.
There's some husbands that are too. That's great.
Yes.
But I, you know, but I mean, we quickly got over that in the midst of, you know, hey, we can't, in the time period where like you can't go to the grocery store, you need to go at certain hours. And, you know, it's like, hey, there's an online platform for this. We can sign up. Groceries can be delivered. And so I think the whole world got a lot more, you know, comfortable with things like that. So there's a lot of that going on that the pandemic has shifted and changed. Mm-hmm. And I think that as those companies will look at 2021 and go, hey, we have this new thing we can do here. And normally this might have taken us 3 to 5 years to speed up. We've just done it in, you know, 6 months. And you could also say that from like working from home, that whole thing. So anyway, I think when you consider how the impacts of the pandemic on these type of industries, you know, I think that will actually for some of them will increase their need for IT infrastructure, and that you'll see that come about in 2021.
All right, so the last piece we want to focus on is something that I think a lot of people, us included, are trying to figure out. What is the edge and how does it grow, mature, develop as a product even, you know, through 2021?
Yes. Can I say some things about the edge?
Yes.
Because I
wish you would. We need to get the edge from you two to be a
guest.
Or somebody, some enterprising data center company needs to get the Edge to sponsor their Edge product. And that would be like, I feel like that's, I'm,
that's the, that's what's going to take it to the next level.
Just another valuable service Data Center Rock provides, marketing advice.
Yes. No, I think, you know, if you look back at 2020, there's a couple things about the Edge that, you know, in the development around this that, that I think point to a really bright future. You know, one is we really start to see some partnerships between some large data center operators and the, some smaller companies that have been developing products and solutions over time. And that's been an interesting development. We talked about like Flexential and American Tower, Digital Realty, Vapor.io, Switch announced a partnership with FedEx to be able to utilize like their portfolio across you know, their across the U.S. And so when you look at things like that, it shows that, from my opinion, you know, these larger data center operators and these smaller companies believe that there will be a, you know, more spread out infrastructure approach. There's technologies we've talked about before. If you're in the industry, you know what they are, that will lead to some of this growth. But it's really around the development of that technology and how quickly it can mature, you know. And what I like about these partnerships is like these companies are positioning themselves to handle that demand. And that's really, you know, that's really valuable. It, and it will be valuable 3 years from now, five years from now, when we start to see that demand really intensify. Like I've said this before, and we've done some podcasts on Edge stuff that you can listen to, but we haven't seen like a massive demand yet, you know, where you're taking a 200 kW, you know, Edge pod and putting 500 of those across the U.S.
That's the thing I'm thinking. It just doesn't fit our categories. Like we're talking 50 meg deals and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
I really do think we're going to have to change the way that we think about these edge,
sure,
edge growth in like just number of sites specifically.
Yeah, and that's more around like, you know, and I think that, that the edge presents, you know, to what I think what everybody, what these bigger data center operators realize is we have customers that will have this need. But because to your point, we have 50 megawatt facilities, you know, we're not going to go invest in, you know, a 10,000 square foot facility in a market that's smaller or not that, that doesn't fit some of our bigger customers, even though the need. And so that's why these partnerships are starting to take place. That's also why, you know, companies are trying to figure out, hey, how do we get to a lot of markets? You know, who has the real estate acquired? I mean, it's a real estate challenge that you're going to have to figure out to serve this, you know, market well. And so I think, you know, I think it'll be really fun and exciting to watch in 2021 how this market continues to develop, because you're starting to see some of the bigger companies get involved. And to me, that's a really big, important sign that the demand might be closer than we think.
Yeah, I really feel like it's a slow coming into focus of almost like we've done, again, with COVID is like a lot of unknowns, slowly got our arms around and figured out like, okay, what are the knowns, et cetera, as far as transmission and all that stuff. So Edge similar, where, like you said, big companies get involved. Some may have challenges throughout, but everyone's going to learn from that as they see those companies go through that. So, okay, good thing to keep our eye on for 2021. Anything else that you're specifically looking forward to or have your eye on as we go into 2021?
I would love to see, you know, us get out of the some of the issues that have come with the pandemic and get to more of a, you know, normalcy. Maybe I speak for the world when I say that. But I think that'll be, you know, that's one thing to watch is how quickly that or how maybe slowly that happens. But, you know, I just go back to my point almost at the beginning is like, if you're in this industry, you've either been in it a long time or you're in it, you know, this is your first year in it. It's a phenomenal space to be. And I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. And that's a data-based comment. You know, that's not David, you know, subjectively thinking about this industry, which I would say that the way I think about it subjectively, but we've also got the data to back it up. And so we're excited, you know, for next year, and will be fun to revisit this in 2021 and see how our predictions stack up.
All right, Dave, we'll appreciate your thoughts. Again, the recap of 2020 and look forward to 2021. Again, plenty to be excited about. Again, we'll continue to track this all at datacenterhawk.com. If you've liked these videos, feel free to subscribe and share across YouTube or any other platforms. And again, you can get our Q3 and Q4 summary, which is a lot of the content we share today in greater detail at datacenterhawk.com/blog.